Okay, today on Locked On Bama, we're going to talk about one of Alabama's prime targets for 2025 who's decided to commit elsewhere.
You are Locked On Bama, your daily podcast on the Alabama Crimson Tide, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back into Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me, Jimmy Stein, that's him, Jimmy. Yes, I am wearing my Oilers shirt again for those watching on YouTube. Just a really quick story about that. I had like four or five people come up to me today. I was on a flight, and they were like, that is awesome. They kept telling me, where'd you get it? And I didn't want to tell them, but I did tell them. And I just love old school logos. And so I've had this Oilers shirt. I know I've worn it before on the show. But, you know, we're going to get back in my rotation on shirts. So y'all just deal with that. Jimmy, a couple of things to start off football-wise. KJ Lacy, the dynamic quarterback from Saraland, who is the quarterback of one Ryan Williams, who everybody knows very, very well, the number one receiver of the 2025 class. KJ Lacy, no slouch himself, the number four, number three, number five quarterback, depending on where you look, quarterback for the 2025 class. Well, he very surprisingly committed to Texas. And apparently Steve Sarkisian told him, the moment I saw you, I thought Bryce Young 2.0, and that was enough to sell him. Now, the big question is, he's supposed to come to camp, I think, next week at Alabama. Will he do that? And, I mean, it's a long way off, right? I mean, I'm not exactly buying him burnt orange shirts and just saying, hey, that's where you're headed.
Right. That is the million-dollar question. I mean, is KJ Lacy still going to come to Alabama this summer? Is he going to visit? Is he going to camp? Is the visit going to happen this week? Is he going to perform at camp this week? Or by the end of the month, if he's putting it off and thinking it through. The way I would put it right now is I don't think the KJ Lacy recruitment by Alabama is over by any means. I think Alabama likes him a ton. I think Alabama is going to continue to recruit KJ. You know, and what are commitments worth, particularly when they're done on Twitter? Hey, here's a recruiting hack. Is that what we want to call it whenever we have like a real pro tip for people that are you know, following recruiting? And it's probably something you hadn't really thought of before, but it's just true. I think there's a big difference when kids commit on Twitter or through some sort of social media announcement by graphic versus holding a huge press conference and inviting people there and making an announcement with your family on either side of you and the coach, and you're at your gymnasium or wherever you're, you know, your church or wherever you're at, and you make a big in-person commitment. I bet, and I don't know the numbers, but it would be interesting to know them, right? I think your number of flips are much higher when you've recruited by graphic, when you've recruited by what the kids call edits, you know, when there's a poster that says, hey, I'm KJ Lacy and I'm committed and check me out, the burnt orange, as opposed to the Peter Woods style announcement last year. One of the reasons even though I thought it was possible the whole time that Peter Woods would flip, one of the reasons was always in the back of my head is, are you really going to say, hey, remember when I did that 45-minute show with the MC and the opening act and the magic act, and then there was then you know, Sade came out, played a few songs, and then I committed. Forget all that. I'm going to Alabama. You know, the kids, you don't see that happen a lot. Now, with the, hey, I'm committed and I'm announcing it on Twitter, where all you've got is a handful of comments to the media in terms of a post-commitment interview by phone, I think there's just more flips, right? So I'm just saying that's something to think of in the future whenever you're thinking about whether a kid's going to flip or not. I think the odds of a flip are much higher when there's been a Twitter commitment. So I do think KJ may flip to Alabama. If he's going to flip anywhere, it would only be to Alabama, in my opinion. I think this is a two-school race now. Alabama had some optimism on KJ. This sort of surprised Alabama a little bit. But, hey, Bryce is his guy. Bryce is his thing, right? So now he goes to Texas, and the same guy that recruited Bryce Young to Alabama is the guy now recruiting quarterbacks to Texas. And when he looks at KJ and says, hey, you're the next Bryce Young. That's going to resonate. There's only two places that will really resonate, right? Sark and Nick Saban. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, it, gun to my head, hey, you know, I know a lot of people want answers. They want them now. It's all a guess, right? I would consider KJ Lacy a strong lean to Texas because he might flip to Alabama. I wouldn't rule that out. But most likely he's going to Texas. And if I had to bet today, I'm going to go KJ to Texas. And it's really disappointing for me personally, just because I'm a big KJ fan. I want him in Tuscaloosa. I wanted him to play for Alabama. Still do. Still wish him the best. Hey, if he goes to Texas, that's fine for him. I mean, good. I hope things work out great for you. You're a great player. Fun to watch. But we'll see. Alabama's recruiting three of the best 2025 quarterback prospects in the country. One was just in Tuscaloosa a couple days ago, Antoine Hill from Georgia, a fantastic prospect, big, strong, a lot like KJ, bigger, stronger version, huge arm, just huge. I'm talking about in the Anthony Richardson ballpark in terms of his arm strength. I mean, he can really rip it. But probably right now, Luke, believe it or not, if I had to, like, okay, Jimmy, you've got to bet $10. You've got to. Who's going to be the quarterback in the 25 class now for Alabama? My answer is George McIntyre.
Out of Nashville, right?
Yes. Drop back guy. I would say he's I'm going to call him, and I mean this as a compliment to the kid, in terms of, like, what's George McIntyre like? I'm going to say at the same age, A.J. McCarron plus. A.J. is a lot like A.J., but probably better, you know, at the same stage, which means he'd have even more upside than A.J. going forward. But A.J. plus is what I would call him, and I mean it as a compliment to both George and A.J.
I put this picture up of K.J. Lacy. Of course, look, this is when he played Mountain Brook for a state championship. In Jordan-Hare last year, obviously Ryan Williams was the MVP because he was absolutely unstoppable in that game. I personally don't believe this will affect Ryan Williams' recruitment in terms of will he now flip to Texas. I don't think that's going to happen. But and also, again, I'm preaching patience for everybody because there's a lot that can happen to Steve Sarkisian between now and then. You know, we don't even know what their 2024 schedule is going to be like in the SEC. And, you know, KJ will just be a senior when that's going on. And if Texas gets thumped around a pretty good bit, and let's not – I mean, for all the talk about Steve Sarkisian almost beating Alabama last year, that was – I know they beat the dog mess out of Oklahoma. I understand that. But most people talk about the near miss against Alabama more than they talk about that Oklahoma game. And the people have now sort of glossed over the fact this is the same guy that lost at home to Kansas the year before, right?
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, again, a lot of things can happen. I like Coach Sark, and I'm with you. I wish KJ Lacy nothing but the best. I don't really care where he goes. I think he's a good kid. And the more relevant to you, you're from the Mobile area, and so you know about Saraland pretty much. And yeah, that would be something cool if we could.
Well, I'm originally from Daphne, and so is KJ.
Yeah.
So KJ was the ninth grade starting quarterback at Daphne, and then there was a legit move. His family moved from Daphne to Saraland. So KJ is originally from Daphne, trained by QB Country. I've been around KJ and his dad, and briefly. But you know, I wish nothing but the best for him. And hey, if Texas is his dream now, great. Sark is an outstanding quarterback coach. Any Alabama fan has to agree to that. I mean, Sark's a really good QB coach.
Let me tell everybody about FanDuel right now. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Those are going on tonight. Right now, new customers can get that no sweat first bet up to $2,500 smackers. That's $2,500 for those who don't know what smackers are. That's $2,500 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. That's amazing. And look, What if you went to FanDuel and you had taken, I don't know, say the Auburn Tigers in baseball? You're 0 for 2 this weekend. You need to make up some cash. So bet on the Tide tonight or bet on the Denver Nuggets tonight. They don't lose at home. Take the Nuggets tonight. Do something like that. You can get paid instantly. It's safe. It's secure. They're great promotions every single day. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Get that no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of Major League Baseball and the NFL. I don't know about any college stuff, but hey, I could say it and then probably get in trouble for it. So I won't. How about that? The rest of the week, Jimmy, we're going to be getting into your countdown. We got Miles McVay on your countdown here in just a bit. I did want to talk about Grant Nelson, the dynamic transfer from North Dakota State, considering Alabama will be visiting this week. This guy is sort of a unicorn, like 6'11", good shooter. I wouldn't say a great leaper, but a good leaper, like a coordinated 6'11 leaper who can also shoot from outside, got nice handles. He would be somebody that, okay, he could make some of us. I mean, I don't know that we'd forget Chuck Bediako because Bediako's so different. I mean, Bediako's a rim protector and he's a rebounder. This guy, I mean, at 6'11", yeah, he can protect the rim, but that's not what he does. He's more of a scorer. He's explosive. He's a fun guy to watch. So he will be visiting Alabama. What do you think about the choices here? Because I know he's also visiting Baylor. And I'm getting mixed signals if he's actually going to be visiting Arkansas after Alabama. And if he is visiting Arkansas, that makes me more scared because they seem to do as well in the transfer portal as any team ever in American history.
Yeah, there's every reason to worry about Baylor and Arkansas. I don't think by any means this is some sort of an Alabama lock. My limited understanding is that the kid's going to come into this with a very open mind, that he's very open to Baylor, Alabama, or Arkansas. He's going to hear the pitches and do what's best for him and him and his family's opinion. I think he's the highest priority for Alabama. I don't think for one second anybody out there that Alabama's not going to roll out the red carpet here, that Alabama's not going to make its best pitch to Grant. They want him badly. He is a great substitute for Bediako. As Luke astutely pointed out, he's a great replacement for Bediako while at the same time not being like Bediako. I would say Bediako is outstanding. Defensively needs a little work on the offensive end, right? Well, here's the other kid, the other way around. Grant, outstanding offensively, probably needs a little work on the defensive end. So he's different than Bediako, but a great replacement because he's a true five. He's a true five. And much like Bediako, the thing he needs to work on, he can do. Bediako's going to improve offensively over time. He is. I think Grant Nelson's going to improve defensively over time. The best news for Alabama in terms of what a fit he is some of the things maybe he's not so great at around the basket, Nick Pringle happens to be. He might be a fantastic complement for Nick Pringle. Sometimes Bediako and Pringle sort of clash because they do a lot of the same things. Well, Pringle's more of a clean up rebounds, get an offensive putback, get some garbage buckets, doesn't have any range. The only range we want from Pringle, frankly, is, hey, Pringle, we want you to dunk it. We want you to just bounce it off the backboard from up close. With Grant, we're going to say, hey, you got the green light from three-point range, which Bediako, I think he was probably something like 1 for 8 in his career taking three-point shots. So Grant Nelson is, I think, a great fit in Alabama's offense and what Alabama does. He'd be a perfect replacement for Bediako, bring something a little different to the table. I think he would be a really popular player at Alabama, even though he's obviously a one and done. Haven't looked into what his eligibility is. I'm assuming he's only got one, but he might have two. But I wouldn't suspect that Grant Nelson would be at Alabama for more than a year. I think Alabama would be a great fit. Can't speak to him about what his situation would be at Baylor or Arkansas. The kid's just going to make a decision based on what's best for him. Here's a guess on my part. I've got no way to know this, but here's, I think, an educated guess. I think a lot of kids in his situation be, you know, what the kids call hunting their bag. You know, hey, Baylor, you sound great. How much NIL money am I getting? Hey, Arkansas, you sound great. How much NIL? Bama, how much, what kind of NIL are we talking? Grant just completed the NBA process. He's got a lot of NBA ability. I think with him, he's going to be smart about which program can best prepare me for the NBA, because I've been told I got to work on A, B, and C. If I'm going to play in the NBA, I got to be better at A and B and C. Which one of you guys, which one of you programs is going to help me with A, B, and C? Because I don't care about the money I'm going to make this upcoming season, because the NBA minimum is $1 million. So I'm going to be fine if I'm in the NBA. I need one of you to help put me in the NBA. I think that's going to be his focus, and not necessarily, hey, which one of you guys can give me the most money for the next year? Obviously, wasn't making a ton of NIL at North Dakota State.
And, of course, there's some other guys out there in the transfer portal for Alabama. I think this is probably the biggest name, though. I don't think there's really much doubt about that. Yeah. He's a lot of people consider him, you know, in the top three of all transfers, those who have committed and signed or not for this particular cycle. So one other thing before we move on to your countdown, Miles McVay, today, we have not really discussed the fact that Tony Mitchell, kind of a classic news dump by Alabama Friday afternoon, Tony Mitchell reinstated for all football. You know, a lot of that's gotten some reaction. I don't really know what to think, Jimmy. I don't know what to think. My initial gut reaction is this. I hope there is some other type of punishment. At the same time, I'm very much for, don't kick this kid off the team. Don't do that. Hopefully this is a one-time occurrence. Not saying this is okay. Not saying if he had hit somebody that it wouldn't have killed him and all this stuff, but he didn't. So I'm not for kicking him off the team. If there is some other punishment, I'm on board with it. If there's not some other punishment, I will, of course, trust Nick Saban. But at the same time, in my back of my mind, I'll be like, I probably would have done something else. This, to me, let me say this one other thing too. This comes off on the heels of Goodman, the writer over at AL.com, still destroying his best to destroy Brandon Miller and anybody associated with that horrible incident involving Darius Miles that night, and really not paying attention, it seems like, to some of the facts that have come out. But this, I think, is a little bit more cut and dried with Tony. So I'm for doing something. I don't think he's the worst person in the world. I'm going to be anxious to see if there are any repercussions.
Nick Saban does a great. First of all, we'll never know for sure. We'll never hear about it unless Tony just wants to tell the world. That's up to Tony. Of course, he won't be able to speak to the media until next spring, for Alabama's standard rules about freshmen not talking to the media. So maybe we'll find out in the spring or next fall, you know, in 2024, you know, from Tony, because Nick Saban's not going to talk about it. But, you know, based on what I know from inside the program and Nick Saban is, he does. First of all, no one handles these situations better than Coach Saban. No one does. No one. Some coaches might be harder on these kids than Nick Saban is. Some might be easier on these kids than Nick Saban is. But Nick is the best at handling it because he understands each case is different. Every kid is different. Every circumstance is different. Therefore, how it's handled needs to be different. And I think that Nick does a great job of fashioning the repercussions to address specifically what happened. I mean, here's specifically what happened. Here's the repercussions, with the goal being don't repeat the behavior. How can we change the behavior? How can we make sure that this is a one-off? How can we do our best, not necessarily to punish, but there'll be punishment. But the goal of what's done to Tony Mitchell needs to be to make sure that this behavior is not repeated, and that he's on track to do things like graduate from college and enjoy playing college football and possibly even play pro football, because he's got that sort of ability. But he won't be doing any of those things if he repeats the behavior that we saw earlier this year. So I think Coach Saban is the best at handling this type thing. And rest assured, there's some stadium steps and some some early morning meetings with the strength and conditioning staff. That's probably going to happen, not to mention study hall and things like that. But the best thing that can be done is, hey, what we want you to do is something that's going to ensure that you're not going to repeat these behaviors again. Police ride-alongs, I think, are very helpful to kids that have been in trouble before with the police. It's like, hey, y'all ride around with these guys for a couple nights and see what it's like and see which end of those handcuffs you want to be on again. So I'm happy that Tony's getting a second chance. And if Nick Saban had gone the other way and said, hey, he's not going to get a second chance here, that would have been fine too. I just trust Coach Saban's judgment on how to handle these things because he's handled it so well in the past.
Jimmy, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about Miles McVay on your very famous countdown. And we're back. Miles McVay, a guy who has garnered a lot of attention. He's sort of a rough and tumble cat from the St. Louis area. And just seems like a really good player. Could be getting some playing time early on. What do you think about him, Jimmy?
The first thing that comes to mind based on what we know so far is there's some Jaheim Otis in this. And if y'all remember, of course you do. If you want me to listen to the podcast, you don't know this story, but Jaheim Otis, we signed him at like 400 pounds and Jaheim's now walking around in Tuscaloosa minus 70 pounds, lost like a whole person. And now he's like down to 330 and it's been just like a year and just amazing weight loss. And it sort of shows, it's not just the weight loss. To me, it shows that there's real drive. There's want to. It's hard to do that. It's hard to lose 70 pounds in a year. It's hard. It just represents the work that's being put in. And then we saw Otis start as a true freshman, right? And it's not a reward for losing the weight. It's because a kid that's putting that much into it, he's probably beating out the kids who aren't. So Miles McVay has sort of shown up similar in the sense that he showed up with a lot of bad weight. We knew this when we signed him. That's okay. And then he's put in the work. He has lost a lot of weight. He ends the spring number two right tackle. And sure, we have a numbers issue there. It's not like he had to beat out three seniors to get there. That's not the case at all. But he did have to beat out some people to do that, including his fellow freshmen and even some others. So he's the number two right tackle, or at least he was on A-Day. He started with the, I guess that's the Crimson offense is the second team. And so he ended the spring number two at right tackle. When you factor that or add that into the weight loss and the remake of the body and all the hard work, there's a lot of reason, Luke, to be excited about Miles McVay's future. Now, I think this fall, the best he can do is stay right where he's at, be with the twos. Hey, but the twos, you know, they play almost every week. Alabama's got a big lead in the fourth quarter. They empty the bench and play the two offensive line at the end of games. It's good experience. It's getting on the field. It's a reward for all the hard work. I think that's a real good goal or a real good freshman season for Miles McVay is maintaining that spot as the second right tackle. But he's positioned himself to where he can really make a move next spring because the leader at right tackle, the number one right tackle, J.C. Latham, very possibly will be a three and done NFL player. And if so, we'll have an opening at tackle. There's an opening at guard next year as Darian Dalcourt will move on. So Miles McVay has a really bright future. He's done really well in a short period of time. That's why we rank him as the 61st best player on the roster. A lot of his fellow true freshmen are way back there in the 70s and 80s because they're almost certainly redshirting. Right now, you have to say McVay's not going to redshirt. He's going to be out there a real hard worker and a story somewhat similar to what we saw a year ago with Jaheim Otis.
Yeah, and again, I just like him a lot, and I like he seems to be a very aggressive player. Yeah. Looking at some of his high school tape, so hopefully he'll come in. And you know, I think the offensive lineman this year needs more of that nasty attitude. We were talking about it in Joseph Iannotta. Isn't that how we say his name? The recent Iannotta. Yes. Iannotta Crook. That's Richard Nixon jokes. By the way, speaking of nobody getting Richard Nixon jokes, seriously, one of the guys who, like, there was a friend of a guy that commented on my shirt, and he was like, oh, who is that? And I said, Houston. He goes, that's not Houston. And I said, the Houston Oilers. He goes, the who? And I said, I was like, how old are you? And then it was more like, how old are you? That's fair. That's very fair. Okay.
Washington Senators. Oh, yeah, this is a Philadelphia A's baseball shirt.
You know the, what was it, the Brooklyn Braves or Brooklyn Dodgers
Brooklyn Dodgers. They're the Boston Braves prior to the Milwaukee Braves.
As I love me some baseball, as you know, Jimmy.
I do, you know, big baseball fan.
That's going to do it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much, man. Appreciate all the new follows. Well over 5,000 subscribers now. You guys are the absolute best. Please go check out FanDuel. Please go buy you some Bird Dogs. Man, I've been wearing my Bird Dog stuff like it's going out of style. They're going to have to send me some more merch because I'm like
wearing them right now. Send me more Bird Dog. I'm wearing out what you're sending me. Trust me, I wear them every day. Could not recommend them more highly.
There's no doubt about it. I was about to stand up and show you I'm wearing these shorts, which I am. In this little office I have, it's a small area, like right here. And if I stand up too fast, I will knock myself out because it's kind of short. So I was like, that would be podcast history if the host cold cocked himself and the other host didn't know how to operate it. So they would just keep recording. So yeah, it'd be kind of funny. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.